This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at wheat for Friday, October 9th. Well, the wheat markets finally gave up yesterday. We had quite a run, but in the price action yesterday, the market started out firm. We put in a new high for the move in Chicago, Minneapolis. Kansas City just barely eked out a new high, just one tick above the previous day, but then everything reversed down. And we saw some selling kind of gain momentum as the day wore on. So we had pretty big reversals down in Chicago, Minneapolis as well, and Kansas City was down the most. So we had KC down 16, Chicago's down 12, Minneapolis down 7. And what's worth noting here too is that for the second day in a row, Minneapolis is holding its own against Chicago and Kansas City. Yesterday's price action kind of was similar to the previous day, with the market initially moving higher against Minneapolis and then backing off, and Minneapolis being the better performer as far as spread action goes. So this, I think, is a really important indicator to see how this price action is moving against each other, against the other two markets. 2 days ago, Minneapolis was just getting pounded again, and it has for the last couple weeks. But finally, we saw it start to get some traction. We saw the traders start to come in and start to buy that spread, being long Minneapolis and short Chicago. Didn't quite close into positive territory on that spread on Wednesday, but yesterday had much more consistency in that market being stronger than Chicago. So I think that's an indication that Chicago is kind of losing that upward momentum, certainly losing leadership of the complex. And Kansas City too, you know, it's pulling lower against the other two markets, in particular Chicago, would suggest that it's losing its leadership in the market as well. And it's interesting because we don't see any rain following in the two key areas that have been propelling this market higher. Southwest Russia, Eastern Ukraine continues to be dry. There is a hint in the long-range weather forecast that by the end of the month, there could be a system change. We'll see if that develops. I think if it does, then the wheat market has found its high. I think for now, as long as there's that hint of rain in the forecast, then the market will stop moving higher. Once those forecasts become within 6 or 7 days and that the forecast still is showing for rain, and obviously if the rains fall, then I think this market heads south. In the southern plains, we've got intense drought there too, but that's really not the driver of the market. It's Russia that's the driver. Now, obviously, the U.S. Southern Central Plains is important as well, but that doesn't seem to be the actual driver of the market. And there, too, we don't see a lot of rain on the horizon there, but it's going to be, I think, rains falling in eastern Ukraine and in especially southern Russia, which would determine the longer-term direction of the market. In the meantime, the shorter-term direction of the market, you're still looking at a looming Australian crop about to hit the pipeline. You've still got world wheat production this year at record high levels. So it's not like there's an acute or even a shortage at all of wheat. And there's going to be another wave of it coming into the pipeline here in just a few weeks, with Argentina and Australia about to start up the combines. So you have to keep that in mind as well. Australia, of course, is a soft wheat producer. They're going to be hitting those Asian markets just like, you know, the U.S. soft red wheat would be hitting. They're also going to be competing directly with Russia. So Russia's going to have to get aggressive. At the same time, they're waiting for their ag minister to decide what the tariff rate quotas will be. That's causing some concern there, too, among the exporters. If it weren't for this dry situation going on in southern Russia, I don't think anybody would be worried about what the TRQ is going to be from the Russian ag minister. But they may look at domestic prices going back to all-time highs for wheat and flour. They may look at the conditions that they're developing now for next year's crop and try to slow down the export of this year's supplies. That would make sense. And I think that's what everybody's kind of holding their breath to see what happens. At the same time, Russia needs revenue. They need currency. And wheat is a huge component of that, other than crude oil and fertilizer. So we're aware of all these dynamics going on in the wheat space. I think With a record or near record crop in Russia and a record crop worldwide, there's going to be plenty of competition. I think Russia is going to let this, certainly they probably will have some sort of tariff rate quota, but it's not going to be imposing and all that restricted, would be my guess. I think the market's going to look at weather conditions and what kind of establishment, what kind of plantings Russia has this fall. They have choices. The farmers can go to sunflower seeds next year, which is certainly providing some incentive for them because veg oil prices are soaring worldwide. So there's an option for them. Corn prices are very strong as well, and that also is an alternative for them other than winter wheat. So they do have some choices, and that's what's propping up this market. If they didn't really have any other alternative, we would just presume they'll seed it, they'll dust it in and see what happens, but they may just opt to wait. In the meantime, they're holding on to old crop stocks. They're not letting them go, and that's what's propping up interior Russian prices and underpinning the FOB offers, and they're by default pushing up world prices. So there's definitely a supply fear going on out there for next year. For this year, there really is not a supply shortage. We've got a supply demand report out this morning at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. That is expected to show U.S. ending stocks down just a bit, and that's a reflection of what the stocks report showed us. We're also expecting WASD to increase world production about 4 million tons, and it would take that much just to catch up with where Russia's production estimates are currently sitting. They may ratchet up Australia, do some other minor changes, but that would likely have a bit of a bearish slant to it. But again, the market is expecting that. Export sales yesterday, pretty solid, 568,000 tons. That was toward the high end of the range of estimates. The bigger sellers were spring wheat at 215,000, white wheat at 174,000, soft red at 74,000, and hard red wheat winter at 96,000. So year-to-date, wheat sales are running at 14.6 million tons, which is up 8% over last year, and they're on pace to meet USDA's projections. We're right in line. So it's unlikely that USDA would increase export projections in this supply-demand report, but you never know. Corn export sales yesterday, 1.2 million tons. That was within the range of estimates. And soybeans, of course, still soaring higher at 2.6 million tons. That was slightly above the high end of the range of estimates. And, of course, the majority of that going to China. So, the markets have had a huge run. Seasonally, we tend to peak in this time window. We do have a notable reversal down yesterday. I think it's worth taking a note of. And I do think that from a timing perspective, a chart, a price-based perspective where you've rallied all the way back up to those highs from last winter, that would suggest that you're at some pretty notable resistance. So I strongly suggest taking advantage of this rally. Sell some old crop, if not all of it. Price some new crop. If the market keeps going up, then you start to leg in some more sales on new crop. But this is a big opportunity, I think, to take advantage of that, of this weather market, which is highly unusual during the month of October. If you have any questions, you can call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.